The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. It'll be a pretty warm day, and it's right back to a little bit of winter, I guess. No Pebble there. We'll take it one way or the other. Mr. X, my friend, is here. Hello, Mr. X. Haven't talked to you for a few days. I was talking with Herman a few minutes ago about why Christine Goodwin doesn't want to seem to just bring the evidence forward. And you had an interesting take on why everybody's talking about the Christine Goodwin thing in Joe County. Go ahead.
Well, my thing is simply just an observance, Bill, that they better quit talking about that and talk about their charter changes that are on the ballot as well as ours. I've listened 2 days. I've noticed that with all of the things, nobody has said anything during the conversation about the charter changes other than, you know, that Herman may have, I missed a little bit what his time period goes on. But the reality is the focus is talking about this Christine, is it Goodwin or Goodman? Or,
yeah, Goodwin, yeah. Well, I think, Ed, that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We got a couple of months, you know, or not quite 2 months yet to go here. We've been banging that gong hard for weeks. You can't do it every day, you know?
Oh, no. I'm not saying bang it so, you know, singularly, but we need to compare it and even make that observation, because what is the reality here? And I look at the reality is you have a very powerful move to try to take over the literally all of Southwest Oregon. And I'm looking at it saying, well, we need to fight fire with fire. We need to keep it at the two being even combined, possibly, because I can find no other logical reason why. You know, why didn't she just produce it, like Herman said? Why didn't she just do that and get it over with? Why didn't she take these steps? Well, the reality is there's peace in the law. She's supposed to satisfy the law. And if she lied, they're doing the right thing by pointing it out. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is that let's just coincide it and talk about the important thing. And the truly important thing is what's going to happen in our counties combined. And I feel that it needed to be addressed as a potential reason why she's doing it, because it does. It's changing or keeping the focus on there, you know, away from where it should be.
All right. Fair enough.
Just a casual observation. And we, you know, we have a big battle to fight between Jackson and Josephine County. And we have to, you know, literally take these things into account. Where are the attacks coming from? Where are the focus shifting things coming from? Because we've got to focus and focus and focus on true problems.
So, all right. Well, but you have to remember, Ed, not only is there a focus on true problems, but there's also a primary election. So there are elections of import along with this. But, of course, something this far-reaching should never have been put into a lower turnout primary election. But, of course, I think that's what the schemers in the Democratic Party in Jackson and Josephine County were all about. They wanted to make sure and try to find people asleep at the wheel. That's all.
Well, they're about seizing opportunity, Bill. Mm-hmm. And then they try to death of a thousand cuts by keeping people away from the true problem and focusing on different things. And I mean, we have enough things all around us that we have to focus on that are intrusions into what our way of life should be.
The one thing I am warning people about these charter changes is that there are well-meaning Republicans. I'm going to focus on Republicans because I am one. Okay. There is an amazing amount of naivete among many in the Republican Party that just cannot look at a scheme brought forth by the Democratic Party as being anything. Well, you know, we're just trying to be honest people, good government. I had someone who called here from Southern Oregon, older gentleman from the sounds of it. I haven't called him back yet. But he's saying, well, you know, I had a meeting with Denise Krause, who, of course, is a county commissioner candidate from the Democratic Party. And she is also pushing the charter change at this point. And, well, I'm not unimpressed is what he said, right? I don't know if I told you about this conversation. And it's a matter of, I'm not saying that Denise Krause is dumb. She's a very intelligent woman. That's just not it. She's just wrong. And she's not looking out for Southern Oregon. She's part of a Democratic Party agenda attacking our counties, both in Jackson and Josephine County. All right? That's just it. And so...
Well, that's his acceptance of her premises is where it shows how uneducated he actually is into the actualities of the entirety of what she's suggesting.
You have to look at the motivations of the individuals pushing these charter changes. They're not good.
That's right. It's not about walking hand in hand down the Kumbaya pathway, okay? You can't accept a premise that means ultimately you're going to diminish your power or your ability to hang on to your power throughout a time period. It's not an adaption for the time. Any argument she puts forward, like I said, she goes back to 1853, okay, talking about how we've had the same three commissioners since 1853. Well, but she doesn't tell you that they divided that area in half, and that area that was originally Jackson County with three commissioners became Jackson and Josephine County.
But you see, that's an example of throwing sand in the air, getting people confused. Well, yeah, you know, there's more people now, so we should have more commissioners. No, there's no reason to do that.
And the idea that she talks about more people now and all, okay, go ahead. Yeah, there's more people now.
Now, what the problem that Denise Krause has is that with more people in Jackson County, they still haven't been electing more Democrats on the county commission. That's the only reason they're coming for this. That's all.
Well, if you use her line of logic, Multnomah County should be failed in the Democrats' eyes, and they should be looking to increase the number of commissioners there.
Yeah, they only have 5. Maybe they should have 15 or 20 because of huge population there, right?
Well, it would probably be more than that if we use her standards, because there's 805,000 people up there.
Darn straight. Yeah, you'd have 20. You'd have 20 of them. You're going to go there. Four times what they would plan for Jackson. But anyway, Mr. X, thank you. Got a roll. But Glenn Archambault is going to be talking about farm issues here in just a moment. I got to get to him. He's probably wondering why I'm why I haven't called him yet. Okay? All right?
Okay. You have a good one.
Yeah, we'll do that. But anyway, it's no on all of them. You don't have to think about it. It's no on 17-116. It's no on the three Jackson County charter changes, too. Tell your friends. It's wanted by Democrats for one reason and one reason only. They're upset that not enough people, you people in Jackson and Josephine County, have been voting for the wrong people all these years. And Denise Krause and the various people, including the Josephine County Democrats, they're there to help you change. Don't let them change you. You don't want their help. This is the Bill Myers Show.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
How do you know you're selling your home with the right agent? Hey, it's Lars. I'm going to tell you, in Medford and Southern Oregon, the right agent is Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty. Trust Jared to get the job done. With Jared and his team, you're going to get years of experience and the know-how to navigate the market right here in Medford. Jared and his team have exclusive strategic options to get your home sold. Combined with Jared's highly effective marketing, why would you think of working with any other agent in Medford or Southern Oregon? Best of all, Jared guarantees to sell your home at a price and a deadline you agree to, or he buys it. Now you know why real estate expert and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran and I can't stop talking about Jared Hokanson. Call the only agent I recommend in Medford and all of Southern Oregon. Call Jared Hokanson at 541-772-SOLD. That's 541-772-SOLD. Or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
Every day, we're living in what can only be called a hyper-connected world. Everyone's connected. Smartphones make voice and video calls. Everyone can text, read, or send an email. But loneliness is at epidemic levels. I'm Kim Komando, brought to you by T-Mobile. Their advanced network now goes farther than ever before. Visit T-Mobile.com/55 today. The promise of our hyperconnectivity was that everyone could connect with everyone, anytime, anywhere. But we're lonely. In England, the United States, and Canada, a staggering 40% of us go at least 3 days without a real, live, face-to-face conversation with another human. Even with employees back in the office, up to a quarter of them are still lonely, even while at work. Loneliness affects their confidence, anxiety, and sleep patterns, and those most affected are 18 to 24. the very ones who are robbed of social contact in high school during the COVID lockdown. Gen Z is a very lonely generation. Join 500,000 folks who get TechSmart with my free newsletter. Sign up at getkim.com. Let me tell you, I need to be able to stay connected and have my phone in reach and working all throughout my day. I'm always on the go, whether it's running my business, being there for friends and family across the country, tackling never-ending errands, or researching hot topics for our next chat here on the show. And the list goes on and on. I bet you'd be lost without a solid connection, too. That's exactly why I'm so glad I have T-Mobile. I know I can always count on them, no matter where I am. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns all across the country. So whether you're on a video call at the park with a client, uploading files at a coffee shop, or streaming your favorite series while waiting for your flight at the airport, you can count on T-Mobile to help keep you connected to what you need, where you need it. So what are you waiting for? Visit your local store or T-Mobile.com to switch today. That's T-Mobile.com.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to The Bill Meyer Show. 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
17 after 8. Part of the talk with Glenn Archambeau. Glenn Archambeau, the agricultural Sherpa. It's my nickname for Glenn. And, of course, he's an area farmer. Small farmer here in Southwest Oregon in Phoenix. And how are the lambs doing this spring here? Glenn, welcome back.
You know, Bill, it's an interesting question because most of the lambs have gone down the road to smaller farms, and that's going to be the project this year. We're not going to raise lambs to be very big, and that's because the coyotes have become very smart.
So we
send them off to the other farms.
Okay, so your little lambs are going to become someone else's problem to defend then, from what I'm hearing, right?
Yes, but we've been here a long time. The coyotes know that. They're the smartest animal on the planet. And so I, the other day I could see those ears poking out over the brush. So, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Going to be here tonight having dinner.
Do the coyotes more or less laugh at fencing around the limb?
They laugh at everything. They think you're absolute idiots. Because they can get through anything if they really want to. They usually don't. They don't want to get chased by dogs or shot or anything. They just want to have some dinner.
Yeah. I know that at nighttime sometimes, I'm on the edge of the city, you know, east Medford by Foothill Road, not too far from that in Medford. And there are times I will hear the coyotes, you know, howling and yelping and doing something in the middle of the night. And that's when you know they caught something, right? And they're got something in their mouth.
Yeah, they do. Often when the coyotes are making no sound, not of words, then they're up to really bad things. They don't want to know what they're doing.
Oh.
And remember, we have many types of coyotes here, one of them which is coy wolves, a little bit bigger coyote. They say little. They don't howl and cry like the old coyotes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then there's the other guys that you're hearing. You know, they're probably living in downtown Medford under the bridge somewhere or somebody's back porch.
Yeah, hopefully they're not addicted to fentanyl or anything else, all right? We'll set that aside here at the moment, the pleasantries aside. I wanted to talk with you about farming and agriculture and the state of Oregon. And you are, of course, the elected Farm Services Rep for Southwest Oregon, part of the federal government, USDA.
Yep.
I have received many, many emails and breathless video links and things like that. State of Oregon shutting down small farms. State of Oregon is, shutting down a small farmer because of water, et cetera, et cetera. And I addressed the water issue with using wells a couple of weeks ago because I've done a little checking in the background. And the way it's been explained to me is that the state of Oregon always required you, if you had a small farm, let's say you got a 5-acre parcel someplace and you got a half acre of onions or whatever it is. The moment you decide that you want to sell those commercially, you want to take it down to the farmer's market or you want to just sell it out there commercially, if you're using a well, you have to have a water right permit to do that. Was I right about that? I just want to be clear because according to my reading of the law, that's what it is.
You know, Bill, like many things, this is a situation where legal action is sometimes taken and sometimes not taken.
Right.
So you don't know. You know, I mean, even if you got all the permits and everything, here's what happens is they come on the farm and they go, well, okay, you've got a CAFO permit, but you don't have a permit for the diesel fuel tank standing over here. So we'll cite you for that. So you can't win. You can hide, but you can't win.
All right. Well, I just wanted to focus on the water right first, because water rights something you know about, right? Okay.
Yes. And something that happens there that's really important and goes to lots of people. So if I sold you my farm, we would go through this whole episode about the wells on it.
And right.
You as the buyer would get way involved, and pretty soon you'd be really tired of wells. So that's an ongoing, constant issue.
That's a constant issue, though, but ultimately you can't take a residential well and say, I'm going to start irrigating my land for crops without a water right. Am I right about that, for the most part?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. The enforcement of it is all over the board.
I think what's been going on, though, is that more money has been allocated to the state to go after people. And maybe that is one of the things that they're going after farms over the water rights. And I can't help but think that a lot of this is due to the illegal marijuana and hemp that was grabbing a lot of the groundwater. You agree on that, or is there something else driving the extra enforcement now?
The marijuana hemp issue brought a lot of looking at farms that wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. And there was, and that law enforcement funding we listen to on a regular basis, that also brought lots of money, lots of people onto the farm. And so when you get people coming onto the farm that are not real familiar, they start looking around at everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really common event to have some agency come on the property, and then they want, we're not talking about what we talked about yesterday, now we're on to new issues. And so I think that's really scared a lot of small farms.
All right.
So we've got to remember, I've got 40 years of experience at this issue. I've been in this since I was a kid.
All right. So I think we can put the water right to bed. The water right is something that has always been something that you had to get permit from the state to do. Now, I'm not a big fan of that, but this is the whole thing. If you're going to buy a small farm, you better do your due diligence and make sure there's actually a water right if you want to do it commercially. That's the bottom line there, right? We know that.
That's right. And
one
of the biggies is that small farm doesn't have the cash to go into a law firm to protect them on their own.
Okay.
That's the big one.
So you're either going to go to court or you're going to lose.
Yep.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, that's the way it is. And unless you got that money, and you don't have that money, to march into court and demand all kinds of things, you're going to get killed.
In an OPEB article that I was reading about this water right issue with small farmers here, Glenn, they had mentioned that one issue is that there is a way that they're creating some kind of commercial activity is exempted, and you can use 1,000 gallons of water a day. But specifically for growing food, they're not real happy about that. Are you familiar with that wrinkle in the law?
Yes. Yep. What's happening there is you don't know where they're going with this. The law's in place, but whether they're going to march onto the farm and demand all kinds of things is unknown until you're actually caught up in it. So whatever the law and the policy is really doesn't matter. It matters what actually happens. Do they really show up and cite you for a cap of permit issue? Are you using the neighbor's water? There's 100 items that they do nothing about most of the time until they need something. And what they need is to have those little farms go away on the edge of the urban growth boundary because we want to build houses now.
Okay, hold that thought here, Glenn.
Okay.
So from what I'm hearing from you, excuse me, is that there is an attack on the small farm. I'll be right back. I want to continue that conversation with you here in just a moment, okay?
Okay?
I appreciate that. Glenn Archambeau, elected farm services rep here for Southwest Oregon. What is the level of attack on small farming in Southwest Oregon? We'll talk more next.
Before you know it, it will be summertime in Southern Oregon. Ensure that you have a good supply of water before the rush hits. Plowser Drilling is booking for the peak summer season. If you need a water well, you need the experienced and professional team from Plowser Drilling. They will perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Don't take a risk on your well contractor. Contact Plowser Drilling now to get in front of the line. Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Saving big. I can dig on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley truckloads of money over the years on things you buy and use often. All Beauty Mark salon certificates are half off. Also, save big on Diner 62, Malello's Coffee, and Freddy's Diner. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
The purchase of another gutter manufacturing machine has spurred speculation at the offices of Fontana Roofing.
Yes, we'll custom fabricate them on-site in your choice of 30 colors and includes heavy-duty hangers, zinc-plated screws, and complete downspouts. Great. Talk to you soon.
Another quote?
Yep. They're deciding between copper, steel, or aluminum. All will last decades. Even when they're occasionally plugged, they can handle the weight of water and leaves.
And space dust. Researchers have calculated about 5,200 metric tons of micrometeorites fall to Earth every year.
Huh. Ooh, what about bird poo? I'm guessing that's got to be in the millions of tons dropping from the sky every day into the gutters.
Fontana Roofing manufactures sturdy, custom gutter systems to withstand just about whatever lands on your roof. Call Fontana Roofing for your next set of gutters. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Over the last month or two, I've had dozens of emailed videos, links to stories, and breathless. There's an attack on Oregon small farms, and they're trying to shut down Oregon small farms. And it sounds outrageous. Is it true? And, you know, a lot of people put out a lot of stories. And when it comes to the water right, I think we pretty much settled that. You've always needed the water right if you're going to irrigate a commercial crop. Now, if you want to get the rules changed, that would be something you would have to go through the state legislature or the rulemaking process. But Glenn Archambault is our elected farm services rep. He is a 40-year agriculture dude here in Southwest Oregon. And Glenn, you say that there is an attack on small farming, especially if you're near the urban growth boundary, because, and you just said this just a moment ago, because they want to build houses. Break that down, please.
Well, if you have some kind of a farm and you know, and the urban growth boundary is right on the fence line and they're coming in or they're next door, doesn't matter, and they start building and doing things, you're going to then be confronted with the people that are very unhappy with you because the cows stink and, you know, you're always out there with tractors and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the compatibility in Oregon is very low. And so that's probably a bigger factor. I don't think the governor or our state legislature stays up night thinking up evil ways to kill all the little farms. I think they just have no background. They don't understand what they're about.
Okay, so what is it on some of the rules here that make it next to impossible to do a small farm? Because the way the news stories and the alternative media have been pointing this is that this is evil. You know, you can't grow food on your property, or they're anti-food. I don't know if they're that, but there's obviously, when you talk about not understanding the background of farming, I mean, and by the way, Oregon has a right to farm, is it not? Is there right. not a right to farm law out
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely.
Okay. But yet it doesn't seem to apply to small-scale agriculture or not. I mean,
It doesn't apply, Bill, because you don't have the money to go to court. And in the end, all of these discussions are about going to court. Mm. Or you stand there and comply with whatever the nice lady or gal or man from the state says you're supposed to be doing, or you go to court. Well, you're not going to win, so you're caught. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. None of that. What matters is that you can't protect yourself.
Even with a right to farm.
Right. Yeah, no, I have stood in that courtroom I don't know how many times and gone over that issue with the judge and jury and all the rest of them, and nobody really understands it. Do I have the right to have 500 cows on an acre? No, that's not a common farm practice, so you can't do that. And see, that's another little phrase, a common farm practice.
Common farm practice.
Whatever it is you're doing, yeah, it has to be a common farm practice, or you're a bad guy. Once you step out of that circle, you're in trouble. If you want to go off and do something new and exotic, not happening. So you got to be a conventional little farm in Oregon. That's your only boundary that you have. If you go out of that, you're in trouble.
All right. Now, there's another wrinkle that has been brought forth here, that an attack on small farming has been designating practically every small farm a CAFO, what, a concentrated animal feedlot or feeding organization or operation, right? What does that mean? Tell me what that means.
Well, to the uninformed, what you see is a concentration of animals in a building or out in the field. But according to many, they are making enough manure and digging up enough ground to cause groundwater or this local stream or irrigation canal to become contaminated with these materials. But that's all in the eyes of the beholder. Some people are really concerned. They want no cows in that field. Others don't care. But what we're doing there is we're following the modern trend of agriculture. If you're growing animals, you got to be up to speed. You know, I mean, you can't be working like we were 100 years ago. Modern CAFOs produce more food than farms did in the past.
Okay, so CAFOs, that's what you call them. When I hear that term CAFO, that's the CAFO, concentrated animal feedlot. Okay, got it.
But you've got to remember that on a farm, there's all these other potential violations. A really big one is the storage of fuel. And that's not a CAFO, but it's a huge water quality violation if you get caught.
Mm-hmm. Storage of fuel. Give me an example.
Yep.
What does that mean?
Okay, so I have a diesel tractor. It's a 35-horsepower old Massey Ferguson. And so we always have diesel fuel, or I can go to my neighbor, and he's got big tanks, way out of compliance.
Are they big tanks up in the air with a little spout on it and the metal work holding it up, that kind of thing?
Yep, and the EPA, and I've been through the training, will tell you all about how you're supposed to have a containment form around the tanks, that you have to test them. They can't have water in them. There's a whole list of, you know, it's just like CAFO.
Okay, now I understand what's going out there. The old way of just having the tank out there, you can't
do. Yep.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yep.
But that does make sense, because I know that even in broadcast places where we have generators, there has to be a containment around the tank. So that must be what you're talking about. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and you got to remember, you know, you need the happy new little family that's just moved onto the farm. Do you think they're going to know things like this? No. They're going to learn the hard way. And that's where the fight has started, right there, where new people or people that really believed in all the laws, like the right to farm, learn the hard way that you can't. And if you're small, then you're really going to get killed. If you're big, you can go fight them in court. Good luck. But that's really where we're at. We've got people caught up in the legal process, not so much in the farm process. That's a tough place to be.
Is Oregon different from other states? Do they treat it differently than, let's say, Iowa?
Oh, yeah, completely. That's why Iowa feeds a good part of the nation and the whole world, and Oregon doesn't. And so you can see this, like with the CAFO permit, you're on land that's designated to be exclusive farm use.
And exclusive farm use would strike me as that the animals are going to go to the bathroom on it sometimes. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's nature.
Yeah, that's right. And there's ways to deal with that. You know, if everybody works together, you could deal with lots of manure. Manure's used as a fertilizer, commonly coming out of big dairies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of pluses in those CAFOs that really are rarely discussed unless you really know agriculture.
But is it right, though, to take someone who has a couple of cows on their small family farm, let's say, you got a couple of cows and maybe a sheep or two, like you do, or goats or whatever, and call you a CAFO just because you have a concrete floor or a gravel area or something. I mean, it's just reading that there's some really weird laws or the way they interpret the rules in Oregon in which even the smallest farm gets tagged as a big farm, even though it's not.
That's right. And I think that's where we have a lack of knowledge and skill and background on the part of the state side of the discussion. A couple of cows are not going to end the world. A couple million, maybe. we've had confined animals for a very long time. None of this is new. The regulation of it is, but the reality is we've always had cat boats.
All right. What could be done then to reform, or is it so baked in the cake that they don't want you being a small farmer, and so you're either going to be a huge farmer or you're not going to be a farmer?
They don't want the farms, period, big or little. The movement in the anti-farm community across the country is very powerful. It's very large. Decisions are made with little understanding, but they have the legal and financial power to do it. Oregon is full of it. You know, you can go to any county government in the state of Oregon and listen to another anti-farm discussion any day of the week. It's a standard operating procedure for people who want those farms to go away for many different reasons. Drive down North Phoenix Road here in Jackson County. I can remember when that was like the most prized farmland there was, and now it's all covered in houses. How did those farms do? Did they sell those lands at a profit? Did they move to another state with their money in hand? I don't think they did. I think mostly people got in big fights. And still are in big fights over all of this.
Do we have Do we have a lot of big farms here in Southwest Oregon?
Yeah, Harry and David, big orchard operator.
Oh, okay. So Harry and David can make sure that they're not screwed over by the state of Oregon. But you got a couple of sheep, you're screwed.
Yep, you're screwed. Yep, and the irrigation districts are some of the biggest in the state of Oregon. That's really important, Bill. That's what really makes a difference. You have the water, you've got the crops.
Right. Do the irrigation districts attack farming?
They're not a farming department. They are an irrigation district, which is a very different kind of an operation.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find out if there's a linchpin of influence here, or so, like, you know, there's not just one guy or one group to go after here. This is just a systemic problem that Oregon has grown up, because Oregon's being tagged in the alternative press that it's completely anti-farming. And you say that there's a case to be made there, really.
There is. You know, and I base this on the fact that my family, with many members, highly skilled and trained people, we've been through every possibility in a courtroom about agriculture that you can think of. It's a losing proposition. And so, I would say that the Oregon courts and the state legislature operate with little knowledge and skill. And that's where the problem really is. I think we could have a discussion with people that are reasonable, but we've tried that for years, and it didn't work. I look at the Klamath Basin. My family was deeply involved in water quality and CAFO issues in that valley, none of which was recognized. And today, most of those ranches are now vacant.
I don't have a whole lot more time here, Glenn, but I want to focus on before we take off. Then, is state land use control the root, really? Because, you know, on one hand, we're told we want more houses, right? And so, why don't we have more houses? Frankly, it's centralized land use control, SB 100. Did SB 100 screw over the ability to farm, too, under the guise of saving agriculture, too? I'm just wondering, you know, is the same law or the same concept that the state shall determine the use of the land causing us trouble like this, in which it's anti-farming, then, inadvertently or otherwise?
It is, because you own this land, but you don't really own it. If I wanted to build a house on farmland, it would be just a huge war. You'd probably never get it done. And so that's not the case in other parts of the United States where they farm. And land gets sold out, and all the problems that go with the farms going away happen, and I see that. But here in Oregon, I've seen a lot of family farms just hit the dirt because they couldn't sell the back acre, you know, to pay the taxes or pay the bills. And you know, earlier today you guys were talking about that. I was really listening to the business about, you know, $30,000 common income in Josephine County.
Right.
Well, if you're making $30,000, you're not in the game of any kind of farm. You're going to need a lot more money than that. So, the state land use laws are probably the worst thing going for small farms.
All right. And yet, and here it is, we want to be able to farm and we want to be able to have homes, right?
Yes.
And the point being, state land use laws make it impossible to sell off a part of a farm so you can keep a farm going, right, on one hand,
right.
Because remember, it's EFU. It's EFU, yep. Exclusive farm use, but then you have the urban growth boundary next door to you in Phoenix or whatever it is, and you have all of the people going up there. I don't like looking at a tractor at night, right?
No.
Huh.
Bill, a blank and complete statement on this. People hate farms. They don't want people with farms next to their nice, beautiful three-bedroom tract home.
Oh, they just want to be able to eat the food, though. They want to be able to have food for their family, though. They want that.
And it'd be cheap. Yeah, they want that.
All right. So,
but man, you haven't talked to angry people until you're over the fence with those kind of people. Oh, boy.
But at the root of it, though, we can say, just like the shortage of housing, the unfriendliness to farms is due to state land use control, just like the shortage of housing that we have, a shortage of affordable housing, one way or the other.
And my family proposed and tried to build, renovate, and do all kinds of things with buildings, and we failed at it completely.
All right.
Even with lots of attorneys.
Well, I'm going to continue to bang the gong that if people are serious about the right to farm and serious about also having homes, that you have to get the state out of the land control business. And would you be better with county control, with local control of land, rather than state land use laws?
We may, you know, if they got the background and some skills and they have some patience. I think we could probably do a better job. Really, and like everyone who deals with this, going to Salem to deal with Salem is impossible.
Yeah, once again, if you have tons of lawyers, you'll send your lawyers up there. That's fine. If you got lots of money, we're good.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Why Harry and David's able to farm okay. But Glenn people like you have a much tougher time.
And we would be idiots to lose those people.
I got it. All right. Glenn, I appreciate you. I just wanted to find out. So there is a war on agriculture. It's not coming from the direction that people are thinking, like, you know, this is the, you know, World Economic Forum trying to get us to be eating mealworms. It's actually restrictions coming right at home from our own government, from our own state government that have been driving a lot of this. Okay. I appreciate you coming on.
You got it, Bill.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. In other words, release the hounds. Get rid of the state in state land use. I'm going to continue to bang this forever, and I'm hoping that someday somebody will listen. And it's just like yesterday when I was talking about all care. And by the way, Glenn, thank you for the call. All right. Like yesterday I was talking about all care health in Grants Pass, saying, well, we want laws changed in order to make more affordable housing in rural Oregon. Well, the reason you can't do it is still state land use control. It's at cross purposes to just about everything that we the people really need and or want here in Southwest Oregon. This is the Bill Meyer Show. News sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Serna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. No winner in Monday night's Powerball drawing means the jackpot has jumped once again. The Powerball jackpot increased to an estimated $1.09 billion after no one matched the six numbers drawn Monday night. The next drawing will be Wednesday night. Then the Klamath Falls man accused of kidnapping a woman from Seattle and holding her in a makeshift cell in his home was in federal court in Medford Monday, requesting all charges be dismissed. Negasi Zuberi was initially charged with felony kidnapping and attempting to escape from Jackson County Jail after his arrest in mid-July. In court, Zuberi requested all charges be dismissed because of destruction of evidence and alleged lack of federal jurisdiction over the case. Instead of dismissing the charges, the judge and defense attorneys approved filing date extensions out to April 22nd. Then Shore Acres State Park is looking for volunteers this year for its volunteer days. You can join the Rangers in caring for the gardens from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the third Friday of every month from April through September. The tasks vary depending on the season, but could include cleaning out the pond, pruning roses, trimming shrubs, planting, and helping to remove invasive species. For more information, Google Shore Acres Volunteer Days to fill out forms. For local news anytime, head on over to our website, KOBI5.com, or our Facebook, KOBI-TV-NBC5. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Serna.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Now through April, purchase one of three styles of General G-Max High or Ultra High performance tires for your modern muscle car, sports car, or sporty coupe or sedan, and get a Visa reward card in the mail. Or purchase four Ultimax tires for your passenger car or crossover and get $60 Visa reward card. The Ultimax is an all-season touring tire built for long-lasting, year-round use. Save on General Tires for any of your cars you drive at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
The Rogue Gardener, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
If we select certain plants and manage a habitat with a purpose, even a small plot can provide very high quality overwintering habitat for the insects that pollinate our plants and beneficial insects that attack harmful insects in our gardens.
Call Stan Saturdays 10 to noon and Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED and KCMD.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
It looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
NBC5 News is now on Cozy TV every night at 10. Here's how to find it. If you're on Spectrum, tune to channel 188. If you're receiving NBC5 over the air, tune to 5.2. And you can stream NBC5 News on Cozy at KLBI5.com. Need help finding Cozy? Our engineers will answer your questions. Just call us. NBC5 News is now on Cozy TV every night at 10. Visit KLBI5.com for a complete list of available platforms.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
770-5633, gold, $22.57. Mr. Market is saying that, nah, they don't think they're going to be getting inflation under control. I think that's the not-so-secret agenda. Plus, central banks continue to buy it. And maybe you'd like to add to your gold and or silver. Boy, I'll tell you, silver has not taken off. Well, no, silver added a 3% overnight. Yeah, 25 cents. Boy, we're starting to see some interesting things in the precious metal markets. You know, that means whether you're looking to buy, which I continue to do because I'm looking long term, or you're thinking, hey, I'm going to sell out at 22.57 because I got scrap gold or I got gold I've been holding on for a long time and I need to liquidate. Hey, talk to the recognized experts, Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers, Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. And by the way, 482-3715 to get your appointment for the Grants Pass store. You just walk in at Jay Austin & Ashland this morning. Great people. Do not bend the knee to big government. And they stayed open, even though a lot of other places shut down during COVID time. It tells you the kind of people that they are, all right? And they've been long-term sponsors of my show. Please, please, when you're looking for gold and silver, selling, buying, maybe you have banknotes that are collectible and various other precious items, talk to the recognized experts at Jay Austin, Ashland, and Grants Pass, okay? It is 10 before 9. Let me talk to Brad. Brad, you wanted to bite on that conversation with Glenn Archambault and land use here. What are you thinking? Go ahead.
Yeah, Bill, good morning. I did. You know, I really, really appreciate it when you and Glenn have those kind of discussions, because what you talked about with Glenn is the other end of what you and I talk about, the mandatory densification that we see going on in urban.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are the same thing, which is even though we live in a county with 2 million acres where we only have 230,000 people, we've got one of the lowest population densities anywhere in the United States, is that we have these administrative policies that are being used to do what? Deny your ability to live or be able to operate outside of the densified urban area, right? That's what you and Glenn were talking about. And then if you are in the urban area, densify. So making it harder, more expensive, more difficult, perhaps even financially impossible to do what lots and lots of people used to do in rural Oregon, which is live outside of the city. A lot of people want to do that. But you also have to talk about Senate Bill 762 from Senator Golden.
And of course, what that's doing is putting the fire map issue in play to make it next to impossible to live on land. It's like a constriction. Yeah. In other words, Jeff Golden's 762, it's like a boa constrictor wrapping around rural property owners, right? He doesn't think so, I guess, but we know that is.
Well, anyway, I really appreciate you having that conversation with Glenn, because This is the other part that a lot of people don't see. People who used to relatively easily be able to make sense financially of living outside the city are being pressured to do what? They're being financially pressured to move into the city. And then once you have to move into the city, now you have all these densification policies going on that are forcing you into a more and more densified urban situation.
In other words, that's the 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable community that former Governor Brown, with her executive order, did. You know, CFEC.
It's different. Mm. It's different clothing on the same animal to the same end.
But let me ask you. I'm going to ask the same question of you, being with the Builders Association, that I did of Glenn. Is Senate Bill 100 just the actual concept that the state of Oregon has control of all the land in every city and county in this state? Is that not the root, though, of all of it?
But Bill, I'm not an attorney and I don't give legal opinions, but what you and I know is that in 1972, when Senate Bill 100 was passed, it established legislatively the precedent that everything to do with land use planning, it established the power for the state of Oregon to do everything else, which is create LCDC, create DLCD.
Yep.
Everything that the state of Oregon uses to enforce this legislative power on landowners, that all comes from Senate Bill 100. That is true.
Okay. All right. And you know, on one hand, we have all care that's saying we want to carve out so we can get more affordable homes. You got Glenn that is saying, well, hey, because of the same rule that all care wants to carve out from, they can't farm. And so no one's talking about repealing the whole concept of land use planning from the state. And if you're not going to talk about repealing the land use plan of the state, we got nothing to talk about. I don't know, because all we're doing is tap dancing on who's going to carve out, who's carve out. Who's going to win politically?
Well, you really don't have to repeal the whole thing to make it work a lot better. But what you have is you have literally 50 years of land use planning getting more and more prescriptive, more and more regulated, to the point. And then Governor Brown, signing an executive order to the Department of Land Conservation and Development to create climate-friendly, equitable communities, which was an executive action.
But you see, that's my point. There would be no DLCD or LCD for Governor Brown or Governor Kotek or any other governor to give the executive order to if there was no authority from Senate Bill 100 to have created it in the first place. Get it? You understand now where I'm coming from?
I do. You know, when your friend Sal Esquivel, after serving 17 years in the Oregon legislature, born and raised in Oregon, Sal was, so when Sal and Jan moved to Idaho, they went down to the local county courthouse to get their plans approved to build their cabin.
Yeah.
And oh, my gosh, he had drawings. He had this, he had that. And he walked in and he said, well, how much is it going to cost and take to get our building permit? And the gal said, oh, I think we can get you out of here in about 20 minutes.
Oh, man, you see, that's where we need to go. Oregonians will not be free as long as state land use planning. We'll never be free again with state land use planning. That's the bottom line. Appreciate the call there. Got a roll here, Brad. I'm going to take a couple more calls before I turn into a pumpkin with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Hi, who's this? Go ahead. Welcome.
Hey, this is Steve the Minion, Bill.
Steve the Minion. Go ahead. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, there's a real simple solution to that. Just throw up a couple hoop houses, you know? They never prosecuted any of those guys for drilling extra wells, tapping out of the Illinois River, putting up illegal structures. None of that stuff was permitted. It was reported, and they didn't have enough people to invest.
We could be Hoop House Nation down here, huh?
There you go.
All right, Steve, appreciate the call. I'll grab one more. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hi, this is Gene.
Yeah, Gene. Go ahead.
And I got a comment from Friday and a comment for today.
Okay. Make it quick, though. Almost out of time.
Instead of hunting owls, why don't they hunt crows? There's no way to get rid of the whole crow population, but they are invading Oregon.
Yeah, well, see, crows aren't the enemy of forestry, you know. And the whole idea is that you have to kill the stuff that's the enemy of forestry. You know, you got to kill what would allow you can't have those. Anyway, point now. What's your second point? Go ahead.
Second point is they are wanting to destroy the forest. Instead of saving them, a lot of that wood could be used for building and also for fires to keep people warm when they shut off the power.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole idea at this point, the people that are pushing the energy starvation, they just ultimately hate humanity. They want you to freeze. They want you to freeze. That they look at that as not a bug but a feature of the gangrene world, okay?
The greens can be called plant destroyers instead because they're wanting to destroy the planet.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to argue with that on that. Thank you, Gene. We'll talk more tomorrow on Wheels Up Wednesday, okay?
It's home show season. The next one for Johnson Builders will be Southern Oregon Home Show at the Jackson County Expo in early May. But you don't have to wait to get low home show pricing right now for any building you need. From a small shop to a huge riding area, residential.